listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The Prince of Darkness.
The Prince of Darkness is in the house.
Never heard of
Jonas Knox.
The story is Jonas Knox.
Chief, this will be good.
Like I said,
Jonas Knox is coming through your speakers like a right cross from a boxer that you've never heard of.
What's going on here?
And now, live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, here's Jonas Knox.
You're really going through with this, huh, Chief?
And away we go, wild card weekend in the NFL. The playoffs are here, and we have got you covered all weekend long on Fox Sports Radio, but me specifically for the next couple hours here on FSR. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates. And wherever the hell you are, making us a part of your Saturday morning, we appreciate you doing so. Welcome in. It is wild card weekend in the NFL. We are jam-packed. We've got two games today. We got games tomorrow. We got a game on Monday. It is going to be a fun ride all weekend long here in the NFL. But we must start with, I mean, if we're going to be honest about it, If we're going to have a fun conversation about it, if we are going to dive into the sports talk radio-ish type of conversations that people like to have this time of year, let's talk about pressure. Because I've heard that being thrown around a little bit here. I've heard people talk about, well, God, who's got the most to prove? You know, who's got the most to prove in playoff time? And I've heard the usual suspects. I've heard people talk about, well, is it Josh Allen? Josh Allen and the Bills, you know, they were in the AFC title game last year. Did they have the most to prove? Is it Tom Brady proving he can do it without Antonio Brown after the smear campaign he was on? Is it Aaron Rodgers showing that he can do it? Maybe his final year in Green Bay after what happened last year? Is it Mike Vrabel and company showing that, hey, we're not just this one-trick pony and all we do is run the football and then we fall apart in the postseason? Who's got the most to prove? And then everybody seems to eventually get around to the same name, Matt Stafford, or Matthew, depending on what you want to call him. And I don't want to piss anybody off because I don't want his wife throwing a pretzel at me. But everybody continues to get around to the same name, Matt Stafford. Because Matt Stafford's struggles in the postseason with the Detroit Lions, 0-3, hasn't gotten it done. Everyone continues to point to Matt Stafford. And I get it. All of it makes sense because of the struggles in Detroit. Now, if we really want to be honest about it, where Detroit is at as a franchise and where Detroit has been at for years and years and years, the fact that Matt Stafford got them to a postseason three times, I think says something. Same thing for Andy Dalton and the Cincinnati Bengals and that run that they went on. A lot of people want to dismiss it and say, well, they didn't win a playoff game and Marvin Lewis didn't. Man, you ask a Bengals fan, what was that place like before Marvin Lewis got there or before Andy Dalton got there? It was a mess, man. I'm sorry, you had some runs with Carson Palmer, but we're talking David Klingler, we're talking Akili Smith, Kijana Carter, Big Daddy Wilkinson. There was a lot of rough times there for Bengals fans. But Andy Dalton got them to the postseason a few times. Matt Stafford got his Lions to the postseason a few times. Nothing to laugh at, nothing to scoff at and just dismiss and toss to the side. But he didn't win games. Now, there was a game against Dallas, and this is always funny to me. So the Dallas Cowboy fans, and I think there was the anniversary either this week or last week, I don't know, it was thrown up on Twitter somewhere, where it was the Dez Bryant catch or the Dez Bryant rule at Lambeau Field, and Cowboy fans still, and I agree, it should have been a catch. Dallas probably wins that game. And Dallas fans still look at that and go, oh my God, we got robbed. They seem to forget, I think it was the week before against the Lions, they were given a gift by the officiating crew, and the Lions got screwed in that game. But they seem to forget that. But since we're talking about Matt Stafford, everybody wants to point to him and say, well, he's absolutely got the most to prove. He's never won a playoff game. He was brought here for a purpose. And I'm going to go ahead and say not entirely accurate. He's got pressure, no doubt. Matt Stafford is at the point of his career where, with his body looking like it's beginning to break down, and maybe the skills at some point, which would start to diminish, maybe he's on the back nine of his career, that if he's going to win big-time playoff games, now's the time, because there's no guarantees. But why do the Rams as an organization, and specifically Sean McVay as a coach, always seem to get bailed out? You notice they never get any of the heat. It's never the Rams. All the conversations we hear about are about Matt Stafford this year. It's never about the Rams. And the reason why it should be about the Rams is because they have told you indirectly that it's everybody else's fault for why they haven't done what they've needed to do and won a Super Bowl. It's everybody else's fault. I mean, think about it. Every time they trade away a draft pick, or they make a major move, or they bring in a Jalen Ramsey, or they bring in a Von Miller, or they bring in, name any one of these big-time players that they brought in, or that they've traded away a draft pick for, they're telling you, yeah, but this is going to be the guy. This is going to be the one that puts us over the top. Yet they're not there. Every time they got rid of a coordinator, you know, like a guy who's actually won a Super Bowl, you know, like Wade Phillips, they're telling you, no, it's his fault. We need to improve. We got to move on from him. Okay. Every time they tell you that a player who is deserves some credit for getting them to where they are and they get rid of him, they tell you, no, it's that guy's fault. Because I don't know about you, but we could say whatever we want about Jared Goff. That team won a lot of games with Jared Goff. And if you want to have a real conversation and you want to talk about things that maybe some people want to dismiss because it goes against their preseason narratives, let me go ahead and just whisper something to you. Psst, Jared Goff wasn't that much worse than Matt Stafford this year. Those are facts. And he did it on a roster that didn't have hardly anything on it going into the season. But all I keep hearing about is Matt Stafford's going to be the reason. This draft pick, we need to get rid of him. This guy's going to be the reason. We need new coordinators here. That's going to be the reason. At what point do we look at the Rams and go, when are you guys going to be held accountable? When's the front office? When's Sean McVay? When are those guys going to be held accountable? Because every offseason, everybody else gets held accountable. I mean, they went to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. You can tell me everything you want about, well, yeah, but what about you know, that missed call in the NFC title game? Okay, well, what about the Drew Brees interception in overtime? I mean, we can have this discussion all you want. Yeah, but what did they do in the Super Bowl? I got news for you. Tom Brady wasn't that much better in the Super Bowl than Jared Goff. All right, Goff wasn't good, but neither was Brady. It was one of the least interesting Super Bowls we've seen in a long time. And Sean McVay looked like he melted down. There was a point where Sean McVay was mic'd up. Belichick threw a look at him. And Sean McVay said, they're doing the same thing in Chicago. Because they gave the same look Fangio and the Bears defense did earlier in the year. And Sean McVay looked like he had no answers. I just keep hearing this discussion about Matt Stafford. No. This is the Rams. And if we're just taking a step back and looking at the likelihood of a Rams Super Bowl, it's kind of a long shot. Green Bay is the favorite to win the Super Bowl. Then Kansas City. Then Tennessee, then Tampa Bay, then Buffalo, and then we get to the LA Rams. So if this plays out the way that Vegas is telling us it's going to play out, they're not winning a Super Bowl. And if they're not winning a Super Bowl, I mean, who else is getting the blame this offseason? Who else is getting fingers pointed this offseason? You went to one with Jared Goff. Vegas is telling us you're not even going to one. Like you're not even going to be in a conference championship game. I said it at the time last year. And everybody said, oh, God, you just want to take the opposite point of view. No. This was the truth. Jared Goff got shafted by Sean McVay and the LA Rams. They threw him under the bus. He was the fall guy. Just like Wade Phillips was the fall guy and all these other moves they've made in previous seasons. Jared Goff was the fall guy. They got frustrated with him and his performance against the San Francisco 49ers in a regular season game. They had a falling out. And then all of a sudden, we get to a playoff game after Jared Goff's got an injured hand. And they start his backup. They start Wolford, his backup. And Jared Goff's looking around like, I can play. No. We're going to go with this guy. Gives us the best chance to win. Okay. About 14 seconds into the game, Wofford gets knocked out, and Jared Goff comes in with one hand on the road in Seattle, outplays Russell Wilson, and they win a playoff game. He bailed them out. Never said a word. Never said a word, never ran his mouth, bailed them out. Then they go to Green Bay at Lambeau against the number one seed. And they were in that game. And Aaron Donald got banged up. But Jared Goff was in that game playing well. They lose. And what's almost immediately the first thing the Rams do? Point to Jared Goff and blame him. He's a fall guy. Got to get better at quarterback. Okay. All right. Well, here we are. Everybody's been telling us, the media's been telling us, oh, Matt Stafford's an MVP candidate, watch out for Matt Stafford. All of this has been twisted and manipulated, and the conversation's gone in a bunch of different ways because everybody wants to point to just Matt Stafford. Dude, it ain't Matt Stafford. I can assure you, it is not Matt Stafford. I live about 4 minutes from the Rams facility. It's not him. It's the organization. When they keep telling you every single year, we need to do more, we're not good enough, it's somebody else's fault, at some point, the conversation comes around. And the conversation at this point should come around to, no. Stafford's not the issue. It's our organization and potentially Sean McVay. Everybody looking for a fall guy. Every offseason, maybe the fall guy's been there the past few seasons. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates. You can get me on Twitter, @TheJonasKnox, @TheJonasKnox. We are going to have some fun here over the next couple hours. We're going to have the usuals. We're going to have another edition of Do You Care? We're going to have Knox Locks. But coming up next, there is a team in the NFL who is really frustrated, really upset, borderline embarrassed by an issue that is currently taking place. I'm going to tell you what that problem is and how you can solve it. It's coming up next year on FSR.
You got to have a fall guy.
This song stinks. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. You can listen to the show on the iHeartRadio app. We're going to take you all the way up until noon Eastern time.
That freaking 9 a.m.
Pacific
music.
Here on FSR. What band is this, Sam? In Flames? What sort of, Indonesian techno metal is this?
It's Metallica.
Oh, okay. That was off by a little bit. All right.
Indonesian techno metal?
I have no idea. Who knows? And furthermore, who cares? And if you're listening to the podcast, we apologize. It's a Metallica song that I did not recognize. Apparently, techno metal is a big deal in Indonesia, as we just made up here on the show. All right, coming up in, we'll call it a little over 10 minutes from now. There are some rumblings about this. There's a head coach, you know, a guy out there that we're hearing a lot of, a lot of stuff about. A guy out there, some conversations about, the screw job and all the other things that are going on. We will get into the bottom of it here because I don't feel like we're getting the whole story. I don't feel like we're getting all that. So we're going to get into that conversation here in about 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. So I want to, full disclosure, 1 year ago, I picked the Indianapolis Colts to win the Super Bowl. Right now, go ahead, laugh. Have a good time at my expense. I'm not like one of these candy asses who goes on the radio and gives out predictions, and then all of a sudden, when they go wrong and somebody calls them out for it on Twitter, they have a block party. Ooh, I'm going to block you. You're not allowed in my treehouse. No, no, no. I'm going to block you if you criticize me. No. We make a living being critical of others. If you can't take the heat, grow a set. And go somewhere else. I don't know what to tell you. So a year ago, I said the Indianapolis Colts were going to win a Super Bowl, and I was dead wrong. Now, if you're wondering, well, who was your pick this year? The Ravens. So that was wrong as well, too, which would, and you're probably saying, yeah, but that's 2 years. You do this for a living. You must have gotten the previous year, right? Chargers Falcons. So again, 0-3 over the last 3 years. Just an awful run. But you know what? You got to wear the scars. I'm not going to sit here and try and put mascara on a corpse. This is what it is. I make bad picks for the Super Bowl, and here we are. But the reason why I chose the Indianapolis Colts to be Super Bowl champions a year ago is because I love the roster. I thought the roster was fantastic. I mean, you look up and down. You've got a great offensive line. You've got studs on defense. I mean, they have hit home runs in the draft. I mean, they've done really well. Chris Ballard's done really well building that team. I like the division they're in. I'm not a believer in the Tennessee Titans. I don't care that they're the one seed. Clearly, we know what the issues are in Houston. Clearly, we know what the issues are in Jacksonville. But I look at the division. I go, man, well, this team, if you can get through the division like the Patriots did for 20 years in the AFC East, if you can get through that and you can guarantee yourself, you know, 10, 11 wins each year, you're going to put yourself in position. So I love the Colts. I love the setup. I love the build, the make of the roster. And then they get to this year and it's like, I don't know. I wanted to. I wanted to go bold. I wanted to say, all right, well, I was wrong last year. I'm going to correct it this year. I like the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, the maneuvering they made in the offseason would tell you that they feel like we're one piece away. And so they make the move for Carson Wentz, and I was a little bit hesitant. I was uncomfortable going there. I picked him to win the division, I believe. That was wrong, too. But I looked at Indianapolis and I said, man, I still like the roster a lot, but I don't know. Something just seems off. And so now here we are sitting less than a week away from the clown out, literally, the clown out in Jacksonville, in which Indianapolis went in there. And not only did they vomit all over themselves, they defecated and urinated all at the same time in the swamp. Wow. That is Jacksonville, in a stadium that has swimming pools, against a franchise that should probably be in London, and one of the worst-run teams in the NFL, the Indianapolis Colts got absolutely embarrassed. And we have heard a lot of noise since then. A lot of noise. There was rumblings that the owner, Jim Irsay, called in Chris Ballard and Frank Reich and, read them the riot act and said, this is unacceptable. You had Chris Ballard talking about how pissed off he was earlier this week, that Carson Wentz has got to go. All of these things and everybody seems to be kind of trying to figure out why this isn't working. What happened this year? What was the problem? I mean, if you want to make excuses, you can point to injuries. All of that is fair. Your quarterback got banged up before the season. Quentin Nelson, your stud offensive lineman, he was a little banged up. You had issues on defense. You had other issues on the offensive line. You can point to the weapons they have on the outside. You can say, well, do they really have a number one? Who's their guy? Who's Carson Wentz going to be throwing to? All of that is fair. All of that is reasonable. All of that makes sense. Here's something else that makes sense. The amount of turnover at the most important position. They've had four different starting quarterbacks over the last 4 years. I mean, who else has that? Like, colleges don't even have that. At least you'll get a guy for a couple of years. High schools don't even have that. The Colts have had a different starting quarterback all 4 years. I mean, I don't know about you, but if you're ever working for somebody and you see that much turnover at a really important position, you should start to ask some questions. I remember working at a restaurant, and I always wondered why the manager seemed to change every couple of months. I always wonder, like, God, why is there always a new manager every couple of months? Like, what's going on here? And it was like a well-named chain restaurant. I'm not going to air anybody out here. You know, I'm not here to air anybody out at this well-named restaurant that might be named after a day of the week. I'm not doing that. Listen, I am not going to air this place out. All right? I am not going to air this place out, you know, because, you know, I mean, you know, TGI, thank God it's Saturday. You know what I mean? Like, that's the last thing I want to do is air anybody out here on a Saturday. But I finally asked, like, one of the multiple managers, managers later. I remember having a conversation with him, and I remember sitting specifically, I remember it like it was yesterday, in the office and just being like, why do you guys come and go so much? And the guy just said, dude, the job's miserable. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, we would rather go be a bartender. Like, we'd rather do this. This is not. And so when I hear that and I see that, it makes me think of the Indianapolis Colts. Because if you've got that much turnover at the most important position, what the hell do you think everybody else on the team is thinking? You don't think guys in the locker room are looking around going, oh, we got a new guy this year. Oh, I mean, are we going to find a solution? Like Andrew Luck, people want to praise Andrew Luck and say, well, listen, he got out on time and look how happy he is and all this stuff. It's like, okay, fine. I mean, the guy sounds like Andre the Giant. But again, if you want to celebrate him standing on the sideline for the national championship game, go right ahead. He's a College Football Hall of Famer. All right, all of that is fine. He did kind of put him in a bad spot. I'm sorry. Like commend him. Well, it took such bravery to do what he did. Okay, like, he put him in a bad spot. They were planning on building with Andrew Luck for years and years and years and continuing on. They felt like he had finally gotten healthy. And then he decided, and I remember where I was when it happened, sitting on the sideline, he decided, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and bail here. And it's like, okay. Jacoby Brissett, here's a 2-year deal. We're going to roll. I mean, he put him in a terrible spot. Then they go to Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers retires. Then they go to Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, has a little bit of a meltdown at times this year. He threw an interception with his left hand, which I believe makes him the first quarterback in NFL history to throw interceptions with two hands. Like, I look at this team, and everyone's at, like, God, you know, the Carson, it's like, dude, they've had turnover at the most important position every year. And then you get Jim Irsay standing outside a plane on Twitter because he feels like, well, this is going to, so, you know, if you're not all in, it's like, dude, I mean, what are we doing here? Like, last call, man. Like, what are we doing? Like, you're standing outside a private jet trying to get the Colts. Yeah, come on. You're trying to get standing outside a private jet trying to get everybody fired up for the next season. Season's over, bro. Like, what to tell you? Like, you're already pot committed to Carson Wentz. Yeah, but don't worry about it. They can use their first-round pick on a court. Oh, that's right. They traded that away so they could get Carson. Like, here's the good news, all right? Because I don't want to be super negative. All right? That's not what we want to do here on Fox Sports Radio. Here's the good news. At least you're not going to have turnover at that position this offseason because you have no choice but to start Carson Wentz next year. All right? So you can add around him. You can hope for better injury luck. You can stare at the division and go, well, Houston's a mess, Jacksonville's a mess, and we don't trust Tennessee, and go that route. But if you're looking for reasons as to why the Colts continue to be on, everybody looks at that roster and says, God, we just can't figure it out. Why can't they make the next step? When you have that much turnover at the most important position, or you have that much turnover anywhere, it's hard to find consistency, and it's hard to get guys to rally around when it feels like there's doubt in the organization, especially at the most important spot. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Get me on Twitter, at the Jonas Knox, at the Jonas Knox on Twitter. Coming up next, we are going to get into a conversation about, well, I feel like there's one coach in the NFL that a lot of people are giving a little bit of a free pass to. I'm not going to be as nice. We'll get into that next here. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in a car, pull off to the side. If you're listening on the iHeartRadio app, reach to the left of your phone and pot up the volume just a little bit more. Because I present to you a broadcasting legend, a soon-to-be Southern California Broadcasters Hall of Fame candidate, and I think a surefire first ballot one. This man does play-by-play. He does national updates. If you want to know anything about teams in Southern California like UCLA, the LA Chargers, hell, ask him a question about the LA Sparks. He's probably got an answer for you. I present to you Fox Sports Radio royalty, the one and only, Sir Isaac Lowenkron, everybody. Yeah.
While I appreciate that introduction, don't get me wrong.
How about that? Sparks Insider. Have fun wearing that hat, Isaac.
Hey, I remember their first ever franchise game against the New York Liberty, by the way.
Oh, God, who cares?
While I appreciate the intro, I'm afraid it's come to my attention that you gifted Fox Sports Radio teammates across the board extravagant Christmas presents, like really high-end gourmet pizzas. Yet, I suppose mine could have gotten lost in the mail. So what's the story there?
What do you mean? It's
sources close to Isaac Lowenkron reveal that you got these high-end gourmet pizzas for your Fox Sports Radio teammates, which is fantastic. But, you know, what happened to mine?
All right, so here's... I don't want to expose anybody.
You should make a beeping noise when you back up like that.
No, I don't want to expose anybody on the air, but unfortunately I have to. So, you know Arnie Spanier, the stinking genius, Arnie Spanier. So him and I came to terms on an agreement. Your gift was in a bag, and I actually sent it to Arnie so he could send it to you. It's got Vermont syrup. It's got all sorts of Vermont grab bag stuff. If there's a liquor store in Vermont, I think Arnie goes to every year to provide people with gifts. I actually had him make a bag for you, and it should be in the back there somewhere. If it's not, unfortunately, Isaac, I don't know what to tell you.
I'll tell you what. You should run for political office with a spin like that. Who knows? You want to talk about thinking on your feet.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, that was an agreement Arnie Spanier and I had. And I'm waiting for the soon-to-be text from Arnie Spanier. By the way, he's still bitching about the weather. Maybe Arnie can call into the show and just tell us what the weather conditions are, because he has been bitching all week about the weather in Vermont and up in the Northeast. Apparently, it's going to be rough. And apparently, Buffalo, New England's going to be a rough night for a lot of those players out there.
Yeah, but the trade-off is you get magnificent maple syrup and pancake mix that you give to your Fox Sports Radio teammates, which I greatly appreciate.
That is true.
Main topic, NFL coaching news. Tom Pelissero of NFL Media reporting. The Minnesota Vikings have requested interviews for their head coaching job with the following. Let me take a deep breath. Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive coordinator Todd Bowles. Dallas defensive coordinator Dan Quinn. Eagles defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon. San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator D'Amico Ryans. Green Bay Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. Adam Schefter additionally reporting that the Vikings requested an interview for their head coaching job with Dallas Cowboys offensive coordinator Kellen Moore. Speaking of Dallas sports, in the NBA Friday night, the Mavericks broke the Memphis Grizzlies' 11-game winning streak with a 27-point victory at Memphis. Golden State won at Chicago by 42. Devin Booker, 35 points and 6 three-pointers as Phoenix won at Indiana. The Suns now at NBA best 32-9. Finally, sad news from college basketball. Former Kentucky head coach Joe B. Hall has passed away at the age of 93. He coached Kentucky from 1972 to 1985. Hall coached the Wildcats to a national championship in 1978. In fact, let's listen to the final seconds of that national championship victory over Duke. The legendary Kentucky broadcaster Kaywood Ledford at the microphone. And Jonas, I want you to listen closely. Very subtly, you'll notice suddenly as this game comes to a conclusion, you can hear disco music playing in the background from 1978. Listen to this.
It is over. Kentucky wins it. 94-88. So after 20 years, the Kentucky Wildcats win the NCAA championship 94-88 over the Duke Blue Devils. And James Lee, with his patented dunk shot that's electrified the crowd all season long, electrifies them here on the last second with a cram at the wire, 94-88. Oh, Kentucky winning it. It's been a long, long wait. Congratulations to these seniors, to these Wildcats, to Coach Joe Hall.
What do you think about that?
Oh, man. Some bell bottoms and a little bit of hippie lettuce. Felt like I was back then. Great, right?
I wish they would start doing that on sports broadcasts these days. That was
great.
That would liven it up.
I'm into it, man. I wasn't around for disco. I'm curious to know if I would have been a fan of it, because something tells me it would have been a guilty pleasure of mine.
But
you know,
it's got
a little bit of a groove.
You realize you can still be a fan of disco now,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, I like the current up to date stuff. You know, I'm a big fan of the current up to date. So I'm really hip to what the musical scene is like, which is clear in the sense that I didn't recognize a Metallica song. I thought it was a band from Indonesia. So I think that should tell
everything
you need to know.
You've had a bad attitude with our rejoin music for quite some time now.
It's fun. Well, here's why. Because people get so offended by it. Like, I can't tell you how many times I'll make a comment about, oh, this song stinks. I don't actually think that it stinks. I just like doing it because I know somebody out there is a fan of that band. And then they get really worked up about it. It's just fun. It's fun to do.
Speaking of getting worked up about things, how are the Twitter mentions so far?
Oh, well, we got a couple of juicy ones. They're not happy. But you know what? Tough balls. I don't have to tell you. We got 2 hours to play with here, all right? As the great Mike North once told me, stay focused and fire away, baby. That's all he told me. That was the best advice I ever got in radio.
Hey,
so.
Toadstool.
There's.
I'm jacked up about it.
There's that. There is that. Although that's not the greatest Mike North drop. The greatest Mike North drop was when he said something about this guy. This guy is a certain something that I don't want to say on the air because I'm sure I'll get fired for it.
This guy's a terrorist?
Yeah, that one right there. That one right there. So, God, I love Mike North. Good man.
We know. Sorry, we need Isaac. Meat.
Sorry, Isaac.
No, that was it.
Okay. Yeah, I just want
to
let you know.
I'm just trying to get you in trouble with the fans out there.
Yeah. Yes, I've got a couple. I will read those at the top of next hour because we've got some fun stuff. All right, Jonas Knox here, Fox Sports Radio. We're going to have another edition of Do You Care coming up here momentarily or after the break. I do want to mention this, though. This the Brian Flores stuff is fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Everybody has built up Brian Flores like, oh, my God, what the hell are the Dolphins doing? They have walked away. I mean, this guy's what? Because they won a bunch of games in a row? I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out because it's like everybody's racing to interview Brian Flores. And if he's that great of a candidate, I would assume there would have been a move made already at this point. I mean, if he was that great of a coach, everyone's talking about Brian Flores and he didn't get along with Chris Greer, and he didn't get along because but they were still a bad team for a lot of the time that he was there. I understand the roster was being rebuilt. I understand there were quarterback issues, but like when you've got a coach who doesn't see eye to eye with the organization and they've clearly got different ideas about the direction of the organization, chances are you're going to get clipped. Like, they told you how they felt. Chris Greer's been there 20 years. Like, yeah, they're going to trust Chris Greer over Brian Flores. And then you hear these stories, Mike Lombardi, former GM, who now apparently has been misquoted or he misspoke when it came to, the Flores-Tua relationship. Well, yeah, that's kind of important. Like, if the coach doesn't see eye to eye with the quarterback, I mean, we're going to have some problems here. But this idea that it was like a stunner, like, I can't believe it. It's okay. I mean, yeah, it was a bit surprising. But when you hear some of the stories coming out of Miami and you actually look back at how he handled the quarterback position, yanking Tua in and out of games when they were trailing because he didn't trust his rookie quarterback on the road. Who the hell does that? And everybody celebrated Brian Flores at the time. Like, well, I think that's a really novel approach. It is? You got a rookie quarterback? And every time he gets in trouble, you yank him out of the lineup? Okay. But that's fun to play for. Like, I can't have growing pains? I mean, you can when the first two games of your NFL coaching career are us getting annihilated. But if I struggle a little bit on the road, don't leave me in there so I can figure it out. Just pull me out and put the veteran in? What is this, baseball? Tua goes 4 1/3, and all of a sudden, Brian Flores goes, we're gonna go to the pen here. What are we doing? Like, this shouldn't have been that much of a surprise to people. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Get me on Twitter, at the Jonas Knox. Coming up next, we're going to have some fun. It is another edition of Do You Care? If you just need to get some anger out, some frustration, and you need to lay it in on somebody, this is a segment for you. It's right here on FSR.
I don't care!
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up top of next hour, it might be the most fascinating aspect to a playoff game this weekend. I cannot wait to watch. And the best part is, you can all do it with me. And only a few of you are going to be really, really upset about it. We will get into that here coming up a little over 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. Right now, though, it is time for something we do every single week here on the show. It's called this.
There are so many stories in the world of sports, and most of them are a complete waste of time.
TMZ reports.
Now,
let's get kinky.
Here's some of the big stories from the last week. But Jonas, the real question is, do you care?
And for that, we turn it over to our executive producer, Ryan Bershinger, to find out what the hell's going on, Bersh.
Russell Westbrook's struggles were a major topic of conversation over the week. In his last three games, Westbrook has 23 points on 8 of 40 shooting. Jonas, do you care?
No, I'm sorry, I don't. Listen,
I don't give a rat's ass.
Look, I know this is a big deal in Lakerland, and you got a lot of these fanboys in LA that are continuing to try and, you know, find reasons as to why this is happening. I tried to tell everybody before the season the fit didn't make sense. You had one of these nerdy, dorky, geeky Laker fanboy websites who got a hold of the clip, and like everybody was making fun of me. Yet here we are, Russell Westbrook, a first ballot Hall of Famer who's never been a guy who can shoot the basketball, and people are going, well, he's having trouble shooting. Have you watched his career? Next.
Steph Curry said the Warriors with Durant could have beat the 96 Bulls. Do you care, Jonas?
No, I don't. Listen, I like the NBA. These, who would do this? Who's stronger, King Kong or Godzilla? Hey, who do you think would win a Star Wars war? C-3PO or Jar Jar Thinks or whatever his name? Like, what are we? This is the crap that NBA media does to try and stir up conversation, and I couldn't care less about it. Next.
Bart Scott recommended Josh Allen take Viagra to combat the cold in Buffalo tonight. Jonas, do you care?
Yeah, a little bit.
I love it.
You know,
I love it.
I mean, I would not recommend it. Personally, because that's gonna create a little bit of an issue if you get if you slide face first, if you know what I mean. Feels like it's almost like a spike strip that they throw down during a high speed pursuit. But again, sometimes you got to do things out of the box to try and, stay warm. Next!
MLB owners and player reps met for the first time since the start of the lockout, and the two sides are still very far apart. Jonas, do you care?
No, it's not March yet. When it gets to March, I'll give a rip about this. Next!
Hawaii football coach Todd Graham resigned late Friday night. Jonas, do you care?
Yeah, man, what the F? I mean, quietly, apparently that was like a burning building behind the scenes that Todd Graham had issues. His, like Ralph Irvin and I were just talking about it during the break. His son transferred? Like when your son enters the transfer portal, you might have a problem. Next.
Give me back my son!
Logan Paul paid $3.5 million on a box of fake Pokemon cards. Jonas, do you care?
No. I mean, what, like, buying something that's fake, like back in the day, if you went to a liquor store and you, like, wanted to buy, like, a pair of Oakleys, there would be the L missing, like, some Oakies. Like, that was a solid purchase.
Jonas.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It might be the most fascinating watch of the NFL playoffs all weekend long, and it is not that far away. We will get into that coming up here in just a couple of moments. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are. Make this a part of your Saturday morning. We appreciate you doing so, and welcome in. Get your asses up. It is a wild card weekend in the NFL playoffs. We got games today, tomorrow, another game on Monday. It's going to be a fun ride here on FSR, so keep it locked here over the course of the weekend here. It is wall-to-wall football conversation and coverage here on FSR. Now, of course, you know, we are an hour into this show, and nothing but positive feedback so far. Rave reviews, people, big fans of the program. I mean, at this point, I think, you know, a Hall of Fame. You know, sports talk radio Hall of Fame, Fox Sports Radio Hall of Fame is definitely upon us. I mean, with this sort of feedback here thus far, guy writes in, Kevin says, "You unoriginal, pasty, cracker bleep, get back to your tired ass who is the MVP debate, Rodgers or Brady debate, followed by current quarterback GOAT rankings, you steaming pile of S-head." So, good stuff there. David was so outraged by the anger from Kevin. He writes in, "Go put on your Rams pom-poms, a-hole, like the rest of the soft-ass LA media dip bleeps who couldn't even pick out who Sean McVay is, fit in perfectly by these clueless bleeps." So, we are off and running. This is a, we are off and running with nothing but positive feedback and vibes here from the fans listening here on Fox Sports Radio. You can get me on Twitter at TheJonasKnox if you would like to, you know, partake in some of these pleasantries. I will say this to David with the Rams pom poms. First of all, listen better. All right. If anything, I was critical of the Rams. They've been on a great run. They've been on a great run. But as I said to start the show, this idea that all the pressure is on Matt Stafford makes no sense. It makes no sense. The pressure's on the Rams. It's on Les Snead. It's on Sean McVay. It's on the organization. They've been moving pieces for years. They've been, you know, there's been turnover on the coaching staff, or there's been a draft pick traded away, or they've had to do this, or it was Jared Goff. Like, everybody else's fault except for the LA Rams. Like this, so it's Matt Stafford. He's got the most. No. The Rams do. They've got the pressure. Because anything less than a Super Bowl is a disappointment. Because they told us that. When you get rid of Jared Goff because he's not good enough, you're telling us, well, we went to a Super Bowl, but that wasn't good enough. Okay. So if you're out in the second round, or worse, if you're out on Monday night, I don't want to hear anybody talk about how Jared Goff was a problem anymore. I don't want to hear any of that crap. None of it. And that's what they've been trying to sell us. And also, look, Eric Weddle, borderline Hall of Famer. Like, there's going to be a strong argument for Eric Weddle going into the Hall of Fame. Multiple time All-Pro, he's got the Pro Bowl, all of that stuff. Like, he's a great player. But tell me if you think this is kind of alarming. That you're so desperate for help that you sign a guy who last played before COVID existed. Think about that. Think about that. Last time Eric Weddle played the NFL, there was no COVID. But like, nah, everything will be fine. Like, I don't know about you. And Eric Weddle is a phenomenal player. Great player. I don't know about you, but that would seem to me like we might have a little bit of a problem. Right? Maybe we got an issue. Right? Like, you know, last time we saw him, you know, people weren't wearing masks to buy toilet paper. You know what I mean? But okay, we're supposed to believe everything's fine. Matt Stafford's here. All our problems are solved. Okay. Whatever you say. Sorry. It just doesn't make any sense. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. All right. So let's have this conversation. If you are like me, right, sometime there is not that I want to see anybody go through this. But have you ever been out in public and you see a couple, you know, start having a little bit of an argument, or a couple of buddies of yours start to have a little bit of an argument? And there's a certain part of you that kind of enjoys the entertainment of it, right? Now, it's not good to see people fight or have an argument like that. And by a couple, I don't mean a physical altercation, all right? So everybody calm down. All right, but like, you know, maybe a little bit of an argument because the husband stares a little bit too long at the waitress when she walks away. And next thing you know, there's a discussion. You know, like sometimes it's a... Not the worst thing in the world, entertainment wise, to sit there and watch as two people disagree or have a little bit of a problem. You know, sometimes, and you may not want to admit this, I will admit it. Sometimes we even revel in seeing somebody else's problems displayed in front of us because we look and go, "Well, thank God I'm not dealing with that. I mean, thank God I don't have to worry about that." No, a lot of people won't acknowledge that. I'm acknowledging it. But there is that little bit of us and little part of us and all of us that I think stares at a situation that's going a little bit sideways and we go, "Wow, this is, I mean, look at this. Hey, get a load of this over here." If you're a Bengals fan, do not take offense to this at all, right? Because I do think Cincinnati's going to win this game today. Right, I think the Bengals are going to win this game. I think they're going to beat the Raiders. And it's the first game of the wild card weekend. But I just want this to happen. I want the Bengals to go down early by double digits. And here's why. I just want to hear what that stadium is like if your team starts trailing early in another playoff game. I just got to hear it. I want to hear it because it is intoxicating hearing a place in which people are expecting doom start to go in the direction of doom. And look, full disclosure, I grew up a Cubs fan. Let me tell you something. When the Cubs are playing in the postseason and they start trailing at Wrigley Field, I mean, it's like a morgue. Okay, like and I don't know if it's the depressing lighting because they got lights in 1988, but yet for whatever reason, they still have it on the dimmer. I have no idea. Wrigley Field, for whatever reason, it's still dark at night. Like they got lights in 88, figure it out. But there is something about watching a Cubs game in the postseason when they get down early or start trailing, especially in a critical game. You can feel the depression through the television. You don't have to be there. You can just feel it. If you're a Bengals fan, and I have a buddy who's a diehard Bengals fan, grew up a Bengals fan, a family from the area, and he was talking about, like, listen, no Bengals fan feels good about this game. Like, they can try and tell you they feel good about it. They don't. Because all that you've known over the past however many years is either no playoff appearances, or you get to the postseason and then you lose anyways. They don't know anything else. Like, there are young Bengals fans who have never seen this before. They don't know what it's like to look at the next round of the postseason unless you have a bye in the first round back in the day. So if you're a Bengals fan, you're watching this team and you're watching how it all plays out and you're going, I mean, yeah, it's cool. We got a home game. We're favored. Vegas is telling us that, we should, and by Vegas, I mean, Las Vegas, the gamblers, the sports books. I mean, they're all telling us that, we should win this game. I mean, that we're actually, you know, kind of a significantly a better team than the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, they're telling you you're a six-point favorite, which is what they're telling you is on a neutral field, you're a three-point favorite because, you know, 3 points for home field advantage. That's the way they do the math on this stuff. So they're telling you, you should take care of business here. Yet if you're a Bengals fan, you're like, eh, I don't know about that. Nah, we've been down this road before. It's like you can go back and ask a Cubs fan how confident they were going into 2016 and the postseason. They weren't. I can assure you. And every time they got down or were trailing, whether it was against the Dodgers or whether it was against you know, the Giants or the Indians. Sorry, am I allowed to say that? The Indians in the World Series. Whatever team they were trailing, they just assumed the absolute worst was going to happen. And they were going to take that slow trot all the way over to Murphy's Bleachers after the game, drown their sorrows away on some old-style lights, and then figure out what they were going to do and how long they were going to have to wait for a World Series. That's how that plays out. I just want to watch, and I'm not trying to be cruel. I just want to see what it looks like if the Bengals go down by double digits early. And I'm not saying like 20 points. How about a little 10-0 something? You know, in fact, give me a little bit of this. Say the Raiders get the ball first. They go down. Drive stalls. Daniel Carlson, who apparently doesn't miss, Daniel Carlson kicks a field goal, and you're a Bengals fan, and you feel good because you're like, you know what? Hey, we stopped them. Our defense, it bent a little bit, but it didn't break. We held them to three. Now our offense is going to come out, and we're going to be rolling. And I want like the kickoff return to be a little bit of a fumble. Maybe the Raiders scoop it up, and we have a touchdown there. Or maybe the Raiders get the ball back. It's a short field, and next thing you know, the Raiders score, and they're up 10. Like, I just want a 10-0 lead. That's all I want. I just want to feel the crowd. I want to feel the depression a little bit on the television. That's all. I don't think it makes me sick or twisted or demented. I look at it, and I go, I just want to feel. I want to see somebody sweat a little bit. That's going to be the interesting part about all this, because if you're a Bengals fan and you know your history like you know your history, if they go down by 10 points early in that stadium, the first thing you're thinking of is, hey, how long does it take me to throw up this Skyline chili? Because we're on our way. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Get me on Twitter, @TheJonasKnox on Twitter. We can hang out with us here on the iHeartRadio app. We're going to take you all the way up till the end of the hour. And speaking of Las Vegas, we are brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. All right, so coming up next, there is some really good news. If you're an NFL fan, and I don't know why you wouldn't be, if you're an NFL fan, we have got really good news about your favorite sport. We're going to get into that next here on FSR. The hell is this? The Dean Matthews Band or whatever it is? What is this crap?
Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jonas. Come on now. Okay. Couldn't stand the weather.
Listen,
well, wink and a nod there.
The only Stevie Ray I know is from one of the great tag teams of all time, Harlem Heat. All right, that's the Stevie Ray I know. All right. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. We are going to get to some very good news. If you're an NFL fan, this should be glorious news to you and yours, and you're responsible for it. So we will get into that here coming up in just a couple of moments from now. This is important stuff. We have got a developing situation. We've obviously got a playoff game in the Northeast coming up later on between the Patriots and the Bills. They are expecting that this is going to be one of the coldest playoff games in NFL history, potentially. And we do have our on-site meteorologist representing all of the Northeast, but in particular the Vermont area. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to meteorologist Arnold Spanier, who's got the latest from up in the Northeast. Arnold?
That would be chief meteorologist, since I did do the weather in Dallas once. I got to tell you, I don't think I've ever been in weather colder than this. I don't think I've ever read weather. People in Antarctica are calling me up going, oh, man, I feel bad for you, man. What's going on? Jonas, I was in bed, and my wife's like, I'm going to go to Costco and to the market. I'm like, knock yourself out. I'm going to sleep a little bit longer. She goes outside. She starts up her car. and it lights up like a Christmas tree. Check engine, flat tires, you've been in an accident, go back inside, the car's going to blow in 5 seconds. It's like people are stuck on the side. I got a new car because I wanted to put that in the garage. I didn't want to be outside. I let my wife go outside. I'm telling you, there's no way it's safe to play in this weather. I can't even go from the car into the Costco, which is like 20 steps, without breaking down. I lost my balance. And he thought I was a truck. I'm like, hey, what's going on here? And I knocked myself into the car. The alarm went off. I can't imagine playing football in this weather. And they're going to play tonight. It's going to be easily minus, right now it's minus 40 wind chill. Tonight it's got to be like minus 45 wind chill. Wind chill is actually what it feels like. I mean, it's like negative 10.
Minus 40 wind chill.
Yeah.
Look, I not to try and outdo you here, but it's like 65 degrees out here in Southern California.
That's the same. So, that's close.
Yeah.
I'm wearing I'm wearing underwear, long johns, two pairs of socks, sweat. She goes, I can't go to the market. I go, well, I guess you're going to have to suck it up. She goes, give me your car. I go, you're not taking my new car. She goes, then take me to the market. So now I got to get up. By the way, you would think that they're giving away stuff free. People are stocking up like it's never going to be sunny again. We're never going to see 10 degrees or anything like that. That's it. This is the big freeze out for the next 2 years, like COVID. We're going to be stuck in our house, negative 45. It's like Twilight Zone up here.
Artie, I have an important question. So if you're wearing that many layers, what happens if you have a bad batch of chili? I mean, like, is it like a roll? Like, be honest, it's like a roll of the dice whether or not you're going to make it.
Yeah. You know what's so funny is it's like a Christmas story when that kid was bundled up and he fell down and he couldn't get up. That's just like me. I was laying down. I can't get up. Help me.
It is. All right. So full disclosure, I am a weather nerd. I watch the Weather Channel constantly. And so whenever Arnie sends me like the weather updates from Vermont, especially this week, it's been absolutely brutal. But it was like 35. It was like 35 or 40 degrees earlier in the week. Now we're back down to minus 40.
I'm going to Vegas on Thursday. So if I can get out of here, yeah, I'm gonna. My wife's like, she flew in last night. She goes, do planes fly in minus 40 degree wind chill? I go, I don't know. People fly in and out of Alaska all the time. I have no idea.
It's unbelievable. There he is, the great Arnold Spanier, our chief meteorologist. By the way, you can hear Arnold Spanier. He also does sports talk radio with Chris Plank.
Yes, I do.
With 11 p.m. To 2 a.m. Eastern time, 8 to 11 Pacific on Sundays.
I got to tell you, this isn't safe. I'd run the ball every time. I would say, don't even run it to me. Just give it to somebody. I'm serious. I can't imagine somebody hitting me. I can't even go outside. You know, somebody full speed just hitting me with their helmet. I just cry.
It's going to be brutal. It's going to be brutal. No. By the way, is your Twitter account, is it still a Stinking Genius One, or did it get abducted again?
Stinking Genius One, and I dare anybody to say, forget about you've been in colder weather. I dare anybody to say that you've read about colder weather in your life.
Yeah, and say, send a picture of your of whatever your weather is in your local area and see if you can outdo Arnie Spanier. I don't think you can.
Exactly.
It's not happening.
Nope, can't do it. Can't
there
do it.
It is.
Later, Jonas. Bye,
love
guys.
Love him. That's the great Arnie Spanier, one of the goats of sports talk radio. Man, I used to listen to Arnie. What he used to do to Laker fans out here in Southern California is one of the true treats in the history of sports radio. Like one of the iconic voices, Laker fans! Every time they lost a game, every time they were in trouble, all he would do is just twist the knife on Laker fans. Just a wonderful man. And there he is with the weather report there. But he does bring up a legitimate point. And NFL players will never say this. I've heard one guy say that. I've heard two people say this. If it gets that cold, right, and we're talking like this is going to be like potentially record-setting stuff in Buffalo. I mean, like everybody remembers, and if you're a weather nerd, like the Patriots Bills game earlier in the season, if you're a weather nerd like me, that was it. Like, give me that. I don't want sunny. I don't want domes. I want I want to feel the environment through the television. Just like I talked about, I want to feel the pain of Bengal fans if they go down early. I want to feel what that weather is like. We're talking like this is potentially going to be one of the coldest games in NFL history, but I've only heard a couple of players actually be honest. There was a guy for the Cowboys who was talking. They were doing a documentary about the Ice Bowl against the Packers back in, I think, the 60s. And there was a guy on the Cowboys, and I forget his name, but he said it was the only time in his career where he didn't care if they won or lost. He just wanted the game to be over with so he could go inside and get warm. Like, he was legitimately concerned about his safety, whether or not he was going to make it. And he said, I don't care. I know it's a championship. I don't care. I just want to go inside and get warm. I 100% believe that there are going to be players on either the Bills or the Patriots or even on the coaching staff. And it's players who maybe aren't in the game, players who are a backup, a third string or whatever, who don't care about the result of the game at some point. All they want to do is go in and get warm. I 100% believe that. No, never admit to it. They will never say, no. This is about, we'll deal with it. This is the NFL. It's the No. I don't believe that for a second. I think 100% there's going to be players on either both sidelines or at least a couple of players on one sideline that are going to be looking at this game and going, can we please just go inside? I'm freezing my ass off. I 100% believe it. They'll never admit it, but I 100% believe that that is the case. I've talked to a former NFL player who said he went through the same thing. I think he was playing in, might have been Green Bay too, but he also played. I remember talking to a guy who said, yeah, that was a game where I was like, I just want to go inside. I'm not getting much playing time. If you're not running around, it's hard to stay warm. No matter how many layers you have, just get my ass inside. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with me as always on the iHeartRadio app, and you can get me on Twitter at the Jonas Knox. By the way, you can hear Arnie Spanier and Chris Plank every Sunday night. That's 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern time, 8 to 11 Pacific time. Always a fun listen with Arnie and Chris. All right, so coming up next, you are responsible for some really good news in the NFL. We'll get into all that for you right here on FSR. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen, from one broadcasting icon to another, Isaac Lohenkron. How about that?
You know, this has been a good day for you. You've shown promise and potential. By the way, I have a potential Ice Bowl story for you coming up.
Juicy.
First, speaking of teams in the NFC North, that part of the woods, the Minnesota Vikings have a lot on their Google calendar. Tom Pelissero of NFL Media reporting they've requested interviews for their head coaching job with the following very, very long list. Buccaneers defensive coordinator Todd Bowles, Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn, Eagles defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon, 49ers defensive coordinator D'Amico Ryans, Rams offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell, and Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. Adam Schefter additionally reports the Vikings requested an interview with Cowboys offensive coordinator Kellen Moore. Today's action indeed kicks off at 4:30 Eastern as the Cincinnati Bengals host the Las Vegas Raiders. Then tonight at 8:15 Eastern, it's the New England Patriots and Buffalo Bills from Orchard Park. Finally, sad news from the world of college basketball. Former Kentucky head coach Joe B. Hall has passed away at the age of 93. Hall coached Kentucky from 1972 to 1985. He coached the Wildcats to a national championship victory in 1978. Should we do a disco encore, Jonas?
Why not?
Let's listen to the final seconds of that Kentucky 1978 national championship victory over Duke. Coached by Joe B. Hall. Here it is from legendary Kentucky announcer Kaywood Ledford. And listen closely to the disco music that starts playing in the background. This is 1978.
It is over. Kentucky wins it. 94-88. So after 20 years, the Kentucky Wildcats win the NCAA championship 94-88 over the Duke Blue Devils. And James Lee, with his patented dunk shot that's electrified the crowd all season long, electrifies them here on the last second with a cram at the wire, 94-88. Oh, Kentucky winning it. It's been a long, long wait. Congratulations to these seniors, to these Wildcats, to Coach Joe Hall.
Gotta love the disco music. But Jonas, have I ever, by the way, speaking of music and sporting events, are you familiar with what the Columbia soccer announcer does? Do you know about this?
Like, Like the country or the like country. Columbia, South Carolina?
I was going to say Columbia University in the Ivy League. But it, whenever Columbia scores a goal in a national team match in the World Cup, they do the same thing. They use techno and an echo chamber. Do you want to hear a sample?
Yeah, give it to me.
Here we go. This is when Colombia scores a goal, like in the World Cup in soccer. Here it is.
Yeah, right, man.
I'm telling you, man, we got to do stuff like this in the United States.
That's
good. Let's think outside the box. Back to
Why
you.
Why not? Why not? By the way, do you have an ice bowl? What happened to this ice bowl story?
Oh, I forgot. So,
for God's sakes.
So the ice bowl happens, and the legendary Frank Gifford, the legendary Jack Buck, Joe's Hall of Fame broadcaster father, and Tom Brookshire decide to charter a tiny twin-engine plane out of Green Bay after the ice bowl. They take off. It's 20 degrees below zero after this legendary ice bowl. They're in the air, and the front door of their plane flies off.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, the front door just flew off. And as Jack Buck said, quote, I'm literally reading this, Brookshire was shooting scotch out of a rubber cup into Gifford's mouth. The pilot said, I can bank the plane, but I don't know which way to do it. And they finally landed like in the woods at this tiny landing strip without lights. Like three of the big legends in broadcasting history of that era. After the ice bowl, they almost bought it when the front door of their plane flew off.
I'm never flying again. I'm sorry. Like, well, actually, because I would look at it, if it's a close call like that, I would assume, all right, well, that's my close call. Everything will be fine. Yeah. But look, it's why John Madden was so smart to do what he did.
Oh, yeah.
He had one scare, and he said, you know what? I'd rather just get myself a nice little, basically a mobile home, and just cruise the country and go hang out in diners as I go to games.
Hey, if I could have a chartered bus, I'd do it that way, baby. You could
100%.
Really see America that way.
100%. That is, wow, the door flies off the Jesus, good God. That's terrifying. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Get me on Twitter at the Jonas Knox. We're going to have another edition of Knox Locks and some humble pie. You know, a little slice of humble pie. I was due. A little slice of humble pie. We'll get into that here about 12 minutes from now on FSR. So when the report came out earlier this week about the ratings increase in the NFL, apparently the ratings have been up the highest they've been since like 2015. They're up over a couple of years ago. I think everybody kind of looks at the COVID year as a little bit of a wash, depending on what they're doing. And so you're seeing all this stuff about, you know, ratings and the popularity. And it is funny because, you know, we were hearing a few years ago, well, you know, people are going to stop watching the NFL based on, it's like, cut it out. Like, the NFL has figured this thing out. You cannot like Roger Goodell all you want. They have figured out how to make this a can't miss product. And live events are a rarity nowadays because you've got so many things on demand or so many things that you can stream or Netflix, you can binge watch things. So the fact that you have something live that you have to watch in real time because you don't want to be left out, like the NFL every single week. Like, part of this is that people have now figured out, and this may just be because I'm, you know, not doing the bar scene because I'm not 21 years old anymore. But I know a lot of people, and there's going to be a lot of you that can understand this and a lot of you that are going to agree with this. For a lot of people, the NFL is your social life. It really is. Whether you're staying at home to watch games, whether you're going to a sports bar on a Sunday to watch games, I know a lot of people that don't really care about going out on a Friday night anymore. They don't really care about like, their day is Sunday. And it's the day they look forward to the most because they've got entertainment all throughout the course of the day. And all that it's done is gotten more popular and more popular and more popular. And I think part of it is the entertainment aspect and the way that you can build your life around it. Like, we do this for a living. Like, myself, Isaac, Iowa Sam, Ryan Bershinger. Look, we got into this because we love sports. We were sports fans. And that, and we just didn't want real jobs. I mean, let's be honest. And so we looked at it and said, well, you know, we may not make as much as one of our buddies who does sales and he travels the country. But we like sports and we're willing to take a little bit, take a cut here or there to get to do something and hang out and do something in regards to something we love, which is sports, especially the NFL. There's a lot of people, I don't care what line of work you're in, the NFL and the NFL season, that's what you build things around. Like you build your entire weekends around this stuff. I had a guy who was at my house. We were getting some work done at the house. And a guy who told me, this was like over a year ago, and he said, all I look forward to is Sundays. He goes, not complaining about the work. You know, I'm grateful to have a job, all that stuff. But I tell my wife, I'm like, hey, like all I ask for is give me Sundays. And she's cool with it. He's like, I order food or I grill, drink some beers. I'm gambling on all the games. I've got all the games on. I splurge on the Sunday ticket package. I think a lot of people are like that. So when you see these numbers come out and you see the popularity of the NFL and you see how the NFL has grown so much and you see all the numbers that are coming in and continue to pour in, you can look at it and say, well, it's just because the... No. It's because the NFL has figured out the most crucial and important part of all this. How can they make you feel guilty by not watching? That's what they've done. You don't want to miss out. It's FOMO. It's the fear of missing out. You don't want to miss out on that. And so people build their entire weekends and their social life around the NFL, around being able to watch the NFL, being able to gamble on the NFL. And now that you've got gambling sinking its teeth in and the NFL wrapping its arms around that world, it's only going to grow. So whatever these numbers are now, all that's going to do is continue to grow, and it's why the NFL is in the place that it's at and why some other leagues around the world of sports are looking around going, why is it working there? It's working there because they figured out a way to make their league and that sport a major part of people's social lives, and that's why the numbers are where they are. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Get me on Twitter, at the Jonas Knox. All right, coming up next, a little bit of humble pie, plus... we're going to take another plunge. Knox Locks, we're going to try and make you some money here in the NFL. That's next here on FSR. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up, top of next hour, a little over 15 minutes from now. It is Up on Game. LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress. Plex will have some good stories, I'm sure, from the game, the Giants-Packers game. That was the game where Tom Coughlin, it looked like his face was melting. At one point, like there was serious concern about whether or not Tom Coughlin was gonna walk out of that stadium because it was brutal conditions. That was back in I think was it 07? Yeah, I think it was 07. Might have been Brett Favre's final game with the Packers, and that was when he threw the pick. I think final play. I think it was Lawrence Tynes who won the game for him. But I remember. I mean, Plex was unbelievable in that game. And I think Charles Woodson was covering him, and Plex just turned him inside out all game. So that'll be a fun discussion with those guys. Right now, the forecast, we've been talking about the weather because we do have some... look, since he's going to be cold, I love that both these games are going to be outdoors, that we're going to see the elements have an impact since he's going to be cold. So we got Raiders Bengals coming up 4:30 Eastern time. And then the night game is the Patriots and the Bills. And as it stands right now in Orchard Park at the time of kickoff, we're looking at about 6 degrees. So we're looking at 6 degrees there. Not sure about the wind chill or any of that stuff, but that is just terrible, man. I mean, the coldest game I was ever at, I went to a Bears game in Chicago. This is, I forget the year. It might have been probably 15 years ago at this point. And it was, I think it got down to 12. I think it was 12 degrees, or it might have been 21 degrees. It was something, like, it was in the teens. And I remember my brother telling me, for whatever reason, he thought this was a good idea. He said, you know, start drinking because you'll warm up a little bit. Cause it was, I mean, freezing. And I said, okay. And I got absolutely obliterated. I mean, totaled. Like I at one point I couldn't find a cab. I couldn't find a cab to get back to my hotel room. So I literally jogged from Soldier Field to my hotel, which was on like a Michigan Avenue or whatever it was. And it's not a crazy jog, but it's 16 degrees outside. Not a great idea. So, be careful out there if you are listening in the Northeast, as our meteorologist, our chief meteorologist, Arnold Spaniard, mentioned earlier by calling in. We appreciate Arnie's efforts here. So a little bit of humble pie here before we get into this week's edition of Knox Locks. Had a rough one last week, and I was due. I got a little bit cocky. I just thought, hey, I could go through. Week 18 is always tough because you don't know who's motivated to play, who's already thinking about their vacation, what team's resting starters, who doesn't want to get hurt and go into a contract year with an injury in the offseason, all that stuff. So it was a little bit difficult. I had the Falcons getting points against the Saints. That was terrible. I lost that one. I also had the Bucks -5 first half against the Panthers. I thought with the Antonio Brown drama, they would come out fired up. That did not appear to be the case, although they closed out strong. I lost that one. And then, I looked at the national championship game and I thought, man, Nick Saban getting points. I mean, there's value in that, which there is. But as we saw it play out, Georgia was the better team. Georgia took care of business. Alabama had the injuries, obviously, they were dealing with, but Stetson Bennett and company got it done. And then Stetson Bennett had to dance on my grave by going on Good Morning America and look like the dead guy from Weekend at Bernie's. So there's that, an 0-3 week to finish out the season. Regular season finishes up 27-16-1. I'll take it. Not a great finish, but right now it's time for this.
I got a thing about dead bodies.
Hey, lock it. Let's lock it.
And now, Knox Locks.
White 80, let's touch it.
Eagles and Buccaneers.
So we're going to Sunday. We have got some late action. We're going Sunday and we're going Monday for this week's edition of Knox Locks. And we're going to start with Philly at Tampa Bay. This is the 1 p.m. Eastern time kickoff on Fox. And I'm taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers -8.5. It is a large spread. I get it. Philadelphia runs the football. They control the clock. All of that, I get it. 100%, I agree with you. Here's the problem. Tampa Bay is one of the best rush defenses in the NFL. They were number one against the run last year. They were number one against the run the previous year. It's what they do almost as well as anybody else in the NFL this season and over the past couple of years. They have been dominant on that side of the ball in that aspect of the game. That means Jalen Hurts is going to have to throw the ball. And if Jalen Hurts is going to have to throw the ball a bunch to keep Philadelphia in this game, I think that's a problem. I think this plays to all of Tampa Bay's strengths. I think they're going to come out. They're going to come out fired up. It's not going to look like what it did when they had to go on the road at DC last year. I think Tampa Bay rolls. It's an 8.5-point spread. Not ideal, but I like the Bucks -8.5.
White 80. White 80.
49ers at Cowboys.
I don't know why I'm doing this. Full disclosure. I do not feel confident in this. Because nobody should feel confident in this team based on what they continue to do over the last couple of years, but more specifically this season. I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys -3. For whatever reason, I feel like Dallas is a little bit of a roll of the dice. Sometimes you hit, sometimes you don't. I feel like Dallas is going to hit this week. Now, that probably presents us with a matchup against Tampa Bay next week. And that's where I believe probably Dallas is going to come up short. One week they look great, the next week they don't. That's how Dallas has been this year. That's how they've been the previous year, the year before that, so on and so forth. You want to blame Dak Prescott, whoever you want to blame. But I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys -3. For whatever reason, I don't have a handicap on this. I'm not going to give you an X's and O's breakdown. I just feel like this is the week where the moody Dallas Cowboys are in a good one and they get it done at home. Dallas -3.
White 80. White 80.
Cardinals and Rams.
All right, so this is where we're going to get juicy. We're going to go in-depth here. I like Kyler Murray over 35.5 rushing yards, and here's why. One of the great sports bettors of all time, Steve Fezzik, he taught me.
in playoff games, if you have a mobile quarterback, they tend to run more because it's desperation time. They're more likely to pull the ball down and scramble to get yards because it's a one-and-done situation. Kyler Murray fits that to a T. First playoff game, he ran the ball well against the LA Rams the first time. He ran for 39 yards. The second time, he ran for 61 yards. You're telling me all I need is Kyler Murray over 35.5 in a playoff game, a one-and-done situation? Give me Kyler over 35.5 rushing yards, and that is your wild card weekend edition of Knox Locks. For Isaac Lohenkron, for Ryan Bershinger, for Iowa Sam, who cares about other shows more than he does my show, I'm Jonas Knox. Thanks for hanging out with us here.
Jonas, son of a bitch.